reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 54 to the end, and chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Amen.
So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this amazing day. And we pray that you would speak to us through this passage. I pray that we will hear the words that you want us to hear this morning, and that we would open our minds and hearts to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to tell you a story of something that happened to me earlier this week. So on Wednesday and Thursday this past week, some of the Welsh-speaking churches across Wales organised a 24-hour prayer event. And the idea was to get Welsh-speaking Christians across Wales praying continuously for 24 hours for our communities, for our country and for our world. For 24 hours without stopping, all through the day, all through the night. And it was all on Zoom, so you could join with other people and pray over the internet by the wonders of modern technology. Now, I quite often wake up in the middle of the night and can't get back to sleep again. So I thought, oh, maybe I'll join in some of the prayer that's going on in the middle of the night. And at the time, I was feeling quite, you know, brave and hardcore. So I thought, right, I'm going to sign up for 2 hours in the middle of the night, very early on Thursday morning. And I knew that the first hour would be all right, because from 2 to 3am, I knew that some of my friends from Cas Salem Church in Carnarvon were going to be there. But I thought, well, by 3am, I'll kind of be in my stride and I'll be really inspired. So I'm going to keep going and I'm going to pray as well from 3am to 4am. So I boldly and perhaps a bit naively signed up for 2 to 3am and 3 to 4am on Thursday morning. And to tell you the truth, I thought that there probably wouldn't be many people there, or maybe nobody there between 3 and 4am, and that maybe I'd just be all by myself, keeping it going for that lonely hour in the middle of the night. So sure enough, went to bed on Wednesday night, and then 10 to 2 on Thursday morning, my alarm goes off, you know, and kind of dragged myself out of bed, bleary-eyed, went downstairs, made a cup of tea, switched on my computer, and I joined the Zoom prayer meeting. And sure enough, my friends from Casalam were there, and Lowry led us in a wonderful time of prayer for an hour from 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. And you know, I was so tired, and I looked an absolute fright as well because my hair was all sticking up, and I was trying to pray out loud in Welsh, which is not my first language, in the middle of the night, which was quite challenging. But it was good. It was good. We had a good time. But then it got to about 10 minutes to three, and I began to start wondering, what's the next hour going to be like? Will I be praying on Zoom all alone? Who will be joining me? Will it be okay? And then something happened. About sort of 8 minutes to three, a teenage boy entered the Zoom room. Now, a lot of my experience of kind of teenage boys is that they can be quite hard work. They can, you know, that Kevin the teenager thing, quite sullen, grumpy, bit cheeky, not very articulate. And I have to say, I began to be a bit worried about what the next hour was going to be like. And I thought, oh no, it's going to be just me and this teenage boy in the Zoom room for an hour trying to pray in Welsh in the middle of the night. And it's going to be really, really hard work. How am I going to do this? Well, it got to 3 a.m. And sure enough, my friends from Cas Salem, one by one, said goodnight and very sensibly went off to their beds. And I thought, what's going to happen now? But then, do you know what? Something absolutely amazing happened. So the teenage boy, Thomas, his name was, stayed online. And he was joined by another teenage boy called Joseph, and then a girl called Ellen, and a girl called Esillt, and her brother Gwion. And they were all, I would say, in their late teens, probably doing A levels or at university. They were all mother tongue Welsh speakers. And I felt very old and very English. And I have to confess that I was still thinking, I'm going to have to take a lead here. I'm the adult. I'm the minister, after all. I'm going to have to take charge. I'm going to have to show these teenagers how to pray properly. Well, you know, God forgive me. God forgive me for my pride and my prejudice, because what happened was that those teenagers led me in prayer for an hour. And it was such an exciting, brave, passionate hour of prayer. They were praying for their communities, they were praying for Wales, they were praying for the world, they were praying that God would give them courage to tell their friends about Jesus. They were praying from the scriptures. They were praying that scripture in Acts chapter 4, verse 30, when the disciples prayed this bold prayer, "Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." All this in Welsh at 3 o'clock in the morning. And it was not just a lesson in prayer for me, but it was also a lesson in resurrection. I felt like God was kind of smiling at me and saying, "Look, just look, look, Deb, you thought my church was declining or dead here in Wales. You saw empty chapels, you saw death, you saw a tomb. But I'm showing you resurrection. I'm showing you life. I'm showing you power. I'm showing you hope. I'm showing you faith. I'm showing you joy. I'm showing you that I am alive and well and living in Wales." In our reading that Andrew read for us from Luke's Gospel, God doesn't put his words of resurrection into the mouths of church leaders, scribes and priests, men with authority, men with power and status. He puts his words of resurrection into the mouths of the women. At the time, women were not high status. They were not credible witnesses. Their words were not considered to be reliable in a court of law. But it's to them that God entrusts this good news that Jesus is no longer dead. He is no longer cold and lifeless, lying in a tomb. He's not here. He is risen. Sure enough, the disciples don't believe them. Maybe it's their pride. Maybe it's their prejudice. These women are not important enough, not high status enough. Why should we listen to them? They're talking stuff and nonsense. Hysterical with grief, probably. They must be hallucinating. You know what these women are like. But God's done the kind of thing that, if you look, it's the kind of thing God does all the way through the Bible. God has taken his good news, he's taken his resurrection words, and he's placed them in the mouths of unexpected people, humble people. And soon those disciples, those men, are going to have to eat their words to swallow their pride, because Jesus himself is going to turn up. He's going to appear among them and he's going to show them his hands and his feet. He's going to eat a meal with them. He's going to open their minds to understand the enormity of what's happened. And they're going to be just filled with joy and amazement and wonder and worship and praise as he proclaims, "Peace be with you." What about you and me? What about us this Easter, this strange 2021 Easter, 2,000 years later, as we emerge from a global pandemic in all our confusion and grief and pain? Well, I'm coming to you this morning with resurrection words, not because I'm someone special, but because I believe that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And I've met him. And you know, guess what? He's here. He's here in Holyhead and Valley and Llangoch and Llanfaithly. And he wants you to come and worship him this morning and open your minds to the truth about him. And he's calling you to follow him. And he's calling you to be his witnesses here in Holyhead and in Anglesey and in Wales and to the ends of the earth. Maybe you're a skeptic. Maybe you think what I'm saying is stuff and nonsense, irrational, illogical, the ramblings of someone who's been deceived. Well, she's just been fed that stuff from childhood, you might think. You might think that. The risen Jesus doesn't force himself on you. You might be like Peter, wanting to see for yourself, wanting to go to the tomb and explore for yourself, to look at the strips of linen lying there. No body, no dead Jesus, investigating, finding out, looking at the evidence. Maybe you're a jaded, disillusioned disciple. You followed Jesus for a long time, but you're just feeling disappointed. Perhaps you're expecting Jesus to do certain things for you, to behave in a certain way, according to the pattern and the expectations that you've set for him. Perhaps he hasn't answered some of your prayers. Perhaps he hasn't done what you wanted him to do. And you're grieving and confused and don't know where to turn next. This morning, once again, the words of those angels speak to all of us. Grieving women, devout skeptics, disillusioned disciples, inquiring agnostics. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not in the tomb. He's risen. Jesus will not stay in our intellectual boxes. He will not stay in our man-made tombs. He will not stay in the pages of a book. Death cannot hold him. Hell cannot hold him. The walls of our church buildings cannot hold him. The logic of our theologies cannot hold him. The dusty routines of our traditions cannot hold him. The smallness of our imaginations cannot hold him. History cannot hold him. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not there. He's risen. Jesus is alive today, here, in your living room, in your kitchen, in your bedroom, wherever you are. He's alive now, today, here. He's already at work in your town, your village, your family, your workplace. And he wants you to join him. He wants you to be a witness, a trembling and confused witness maybe, but a witness nevertheless of this risen Jesus who defies logic and defies death and will not be hemmed in. I'll show you some teenagers who believe with all their hearts that Jesus is alive. You might dismiss them. You might scoff. After all, they aren't credible witnesses, are they? They're young. They're naive. They haven't experienced the reality of real life, the rubbish that the world can throw at you. Why should we believe them? But in the lives of Thomas and Ellen and Gwion, and Esyllt and Joseph, I see the risen Jesus. I see new life. I see hope for the future. I see praise and worship and joy and amazement and wonder. I see resurrection. The tomb is empty. Jesus Christ is alive and well and living here, even here in Wales. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you so much for this amazing day. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the cross which we celebrated on Friday and the way you took our sins and our pain and our suffering and won the victory. And we thank you that through your resurrection we have hope for new life. New life that we can experience now, today. And so, Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would inspire us again. Lord, gently lift us up where we're bowed down, where we're jaded, where we're fed up. Gently lift us up. Just lift our chins so that we can look into your eyes and see your face, see the face of the risen Jesus looking at us, calling our name. Lord, we pray for all those who need to know you, who need to know that reality of the risen Christ in their lives. And we pray that you'll help us to be your witness and to share what we have found with them. So we lift our hearts and our minds and our souls and our bodies to praise you this day. In Jesus' name. Amen.